Welcome to another Playful Humans podcast. I'm your host, Mike Montague, and my guest this week is Connor Kinnean from Irishman Speaks. He's an Irishman who is in Chicago. I feel like they have a lot of Irishmen there. But we're going to hear about his speaking career and talk about some business humor and all kinds of good things here. This is the podcast that helps you rediscover the power of play as an adult. Find more fun, flow, and fulfillment in your life. If you want more information, go to playfulhumans.com. Don't forget to share this episode with somebody that you think needs to hear it. And if you want to find Connor, go to irishmanspeaks.com. All right, here we go. Let's do it. Start with the joke of the week. The joke of the week this week is brought to you by breaking news. Did you hear about the fire at the shoe factory?
No, I didn't hear about the fire at the shoe factory.
Unfortunately, many souls were lost.
Oh, and the owner was a heel.
That's right. Now, the official joke of the week. Ever wonder how to organize a space party, a party in space?
No, sir.
You plan it.
Oh, very good. Very good. Planet. Yes. Yes.
Do you have any jokes for us?
You know what? I don't normally do jokes, but I tell more humor stories. However, I was saying, all right, what am I going to say? Because I looked at your podcast and you asked that question. So just one that happened in the last week. It's more of a quick anecdote. My wife, darling wife, was leaving and she said to me, Connor, if you're going out, the windows upstairs are open. And I responded, back to her, can I not go out the front door? So, no, she obviously meant I was supposed to close the windows kind of thing, but it was just the response I gave. So
I just jump out them. Yeah, head out that way. Yeah. I was ahead of you on that one, I think, but yeah. I love it. All right, tell us about your career, and let's start with what you're doing now, and then I want to roll back and talk about how you got here.
But yeah, okay. It's the brand is Irishman Speaks, Micah, all one word. And my mission now is to improve people, performance, and productivity with a smile. So I speak to organizations, nonprofits, healthcare, manufacturing, financial services, etc., all of whom want to improve their people, their performance, and their productivity. And if I can do that with a smile, it's going to make it more effective, I think. And it's also going to generate more business for me. So what I try to do is to provide good content, good stories, and the ultimate objective is to have people leaving, Mike, with a smile on the face, with a spring in the step, and with some memorable takeaways to help them to keep on keeping on and achieving what they want to achieve.
I love that. Now, how did you get here? So I'm assuming with the accent, you didn't start in Chicago, but did you start as a playful career and kind of entertainment and stuff the whole time, or did you have like a cubicle job somewhere and have to like have a midlife crisis and break out into this Irishman Speaks
person? Yes, probably would be the way I'd answer that. But no, I started off kind of as a corporate exec. I worked in Ireland, UK, and then I was transferred over to the United States. I was a VP of marketing with a large food service company. And after I left them, and the reason why I left them was they wanted me to transfer back to Europe for a European position, and my daughter just started in Wake Forest in North Carolina, so I didn't want to mess her up again. So I basically told them to get stuffed, they told me get stuffed, and we had a mutual stuffing, and we left the organization. It was fine. I can understand you can't have one person telling corporate how to run their HR policy, etc., and their personnel policy. So I started off, Mike, doing some consulting and presentations on the food service market to mainly to European clients about the US market. I realized I was getting good responses when I was doing the presentations. I got involved with Toastmasters, and I'm still actually involved in Toastmasters about 18 years later. I'm now with a professional speakers Toastmasters group. I won Chicago Humorous Speaker of the Year for a speech on customer service in San Quentin Jail. Okay. All of those things kind of together with the work I started doing with people who were in job search, because what I technically had been let go. I didn't really want to go back into corporate again. But I saw the pain and the frustration and the way a job search for a lot of people just sucks the motivation and life out of them. And I started speaking to them, just helping them to stay sane, motivated and productive in job search. And that's really where I figured out or believed that I had an ability to motivate people and get the messages across that would help them to achieve better things. But then I combined that with the Irish brogue, the humor and the storytelling, and eventually I morphed into Irishman Speaks.
I love that. Two things came to mind. The first one is the mutual stuffing. I feel like a lot of people either went through that or had that in the Great Resignation and post-pandemic, where I think it's an Aziz Ansari joke where he's like, people are like, hey, you have to treat us better and pay us more if you want us to do this. And the company said no. And he said, and then everything got a little bit shittier. just everybody quit and they hired other people that were willing to do that work. And the life goes on.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's a fact of life. I actually do say this to job seekers. If you take the cumulative number of people who have been in job search over the last 10 years, it runs into the tens of millions, almost probably you can almost make it a hundred of millions of people who have been in job search, some of them more than once. So they're going through a pain that so many other people have gone through, but they don't really appreciate that. And they tend to isolate themselves a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and that brings me to the second thing that I thought for you was this part of building a career. So on this podcast, we talk a lot about what is it like to work outside of that traditional model of deciding not to seek another job. What was that like in the beginning? I feel like it's more scary than people think. And how has that treated you over the years?
Well, you know, it really is challenging initially, because I was working in corporate and I was working in a large corporate here in the U.S. where senior execs are treated like gods. And I mean, most of them don't know how to just press even a button to make a cup of coffee. Now, I wasn't that bad. But when I came out of corporate and I realized I've got to set up my own computer, and where do I put the paper into the photocopier, etc.? No, I wasn't that bad. But I mean, that was the kind of things that you did go through and wonder, I like the support from corporate. But then again, I love the level of freedom. I hated the level of bureaucracy that was in the organization that I eventually finished up with. And as a result of that, when I came out of corporate, I was unsure what I wanted to do, but I was happy to try the consulting and the setting up my own business entrepreneurial side. And it's developed. I'm really happy now. And I love being Irishman Speaks, improving people, performance and productivity with a smile.
So tell me about the business of this. I'm assuming that you're like most public speakers and things where you're getting paid randomly for events and in small or large checks and trying to work as much as possible to build a career out of it for you. How do you go about doing that? If somebody was like, man, I would really love to do that, but I don't have the guts, or they're still in that corporate job, what advice would you give for them?
The advice I would give them is to make sure that you've got a message that connects with people, and a message that some group of people wants to absorb, and a message that will help some group of people. I think that's one of the important things. I mean, people say, oh, it must be great being a motivational speaker. Well, actually, it is great being a motivational speaker for me, but I know that I've got messages that will connect with manufacturing, with leadership, and being a two-time cancer survivor, I know I've got messages that now connect with oncology nurses, cancer survivors, healthcare professionals, etc. And I work hard at getting good at it as well. I do a lot of preparation. I do some open mic comedy, which I, as I tell people, that when it comes to open mic comedy, I mean, it's a brutal sport. You either die, bomb, or you kill on when you're doing open mic kind of thing. And they're pretty brutal phrases. But I do not position myself, Mike, as a comedian, because a comedian is a person who gets laughs every 30, 45 seconds, whatever it is, more sometimes. But I present myself as a motivational speaker that uses humor to get the message across. And I'm doing a piece of open mic now tonight with CG's Comedy Club here in Bolingbroke. And it's a time when even still I get nervous just before I get on the stage. But that's good for me to have that level of nervousness and uncertainty. It keeps me on my toes.
Me too. I love that part of it. I think for me, that's what makes it interesting and a fun career. But I'm wondering, you know, too, if you have any advice about it. Sounds like you're continuing writing new stuff, whether that's new jokes or new messages and new stories that you share in these to make them relevant. Do you have any advice for us on that part of staying creative? On this show, we talk a lot about the power of playfulness and kind of how you can't work yourself into fun or force fun on anybody. But I feel like especially people in your position have learned a balance between having fun with it, but and not taking yourself too seriously, but also working and practicing your craft and being a professional at the same time. And sometimes people counteract with those. They go, oh, it's work or play, and they don't know how to do those both at the same time.
Right. And that's a good insight, Mike. I mean, I think when you're a professional speaker, the most important thing is that you've got good content. But then I would say the most important thing is how you deliver it. And then I would say the most important thing is that you make sure you have some humor in it. So you got to decide which is the most important thing. They're all the most important thing. Yeah. But what I try to do is I do try to balance the humor and the message. And it depends on who the audience is. So if I'm speaking to oncology nurses, and I love speaking to oncology nurses and nurses in general, because they're in a high stress situation and they've been if you can take the kind of pun, they've got a really sick sense of humor, because I mean they've just got through so much stress. So they love the goofball Irish messaging, but the messages that can make a difference to them. And when I'm speaking with them, I'll talk a lot about some good insights, but I'll make sure there's an awful lot of humor in the presentation. Now, if I'm speaking to a group of financial advisors and I'm trying to encourage them and give them advice as how they can add humor to their production pitch or their sales pitch, as you would call it in the financial services area, I'll give them really good solid content, intersperse some humor in it. But the balance is different compared to when I'm speaking to a group of nurses who want someone to motivate them during Nurses Week, for instance.
And what about your personal time? How much of this is hard work for you versus like play, fun, creativity, you know, natural child state sort of work?
Right. I'll respond to that by saying, what do you mean by hard work? Because I'm deadly serious about this, Mike. It's not kind of cliche stuff. People said to me, Connor, most of my corporate colleagues have retired. And they say, Connor, when are you going to retire? And I say, why? What will I do? If I'd say I'm retiring, I'll be back on my computer the following day creating either some video or some content or some material. This is the most uplifting, reinforcing job you could possibly have. Because when I come off stage and I know I've done a good gig, I was just down in Dallas the week before last, okay? And I was just speaking to Dallas Oncology Nursing Society. And when I came off that stage, it was like I was on drugs, man. I mean, not that I ever would be, of course, but they've just the vibe and the reaction you get from the audience. You're walking on air afterwards. So this kind of job that I've got, I'm deadly lucky that the work I'm doing, actually, I help people to feel better, but their reaction helps me to feel better as well and just encourages me to keep on keeping on.
Yeah, I love that. Now, I have a few marketing questions for you because said you're a marketing guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have a strong personal brand with Irishman Speaks and your accent and stuff. And you kind of mentioned three things that came together for you with, you know, your story, your background and your humor and accent. Yeah. So I like to encourage people to leverage that, to see those things as a feature and not a bug, right? That
yeah.
the things that make us unique and unusual are actually the most important part, not the weakness, not the, yeah. the chink in the armor. How yeah. did you, it sounds like maybe you naturally felt this way too, but what advice would you encourage for people developing their personal brand and their voice and leaning into themselves?
I think one of the things you've got to, bottom line is, I'll illustrate with with my most popular keynote, which is titled The Gift of Gab. It's about goals, attitude, behavior, G-A-B. Now, almost every motivational speaker speaks about goals. They speak about attitude and they speak about your behavior in the workplace, etc. But what I've done there, I've just been able to craft my own little title on it, The Gift of Gab, which ties in with the Irish brand. So I've got a keynote. I can be building a great business through the gift of gab, goals, attitudes, behavior, creating a great work environment through the gift of gab, or creating employee engagement. And I can customize the material to goals, attitude, and behavior, which is what every other speaker can do. But you've just got to find some little way to differentiate yourself from others. And if you can create a brand identity, and Irishman Speaks obviously suits me really well. It took me a bit of time to figure out the Irishman Speaks brand. That didn't happen overnight, but I spent a bit of time kind of stumbling over. Do I go with Conor Kinnean, speaker, Conor Kinnean, motivational Irish speaker, or something like that? And then someday just clicked Irishman Speaks. So have a message. We won. Find some way to differentiate yourself ever so slightly. And I mean, what you're doing with this podcast, Mike, as well, I mean, you're talking about humor, making people happy, et cetera. And that's such a powerful platform to work on. And you're doing it well because you're asking good questions also. Hopefully you've got good guests on, apart from today. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the other guests you had were good. But what you're doing is you're kind of differentiating yourself a little bit as well. And that's what I'll encourage people to do. Have a message. Find ways to differentiate yourself ever so slightly. And then when you do differentiate yourself, market it through YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, that kind of thing, to get your name and awareness for you out there.
Now, I had another question here, which I think is interesting just when I have people from different backgrounds on, is I'm wondering, from growing up in Ireland, is there a highlight, a favorite thing about growing up in Ireland, and maybe a weakness or a least favorite thing that people in the United States didn't experience?
Right. Well, I suppose the Irish myth is that I'll phrase it this way. In the intro, when I'm being introduced at the speaking events, I say, Conor Kinnean is an Irishman, happily exiled in Chicago, where he says the people are friendly and the Guinness is good. And he's been force-fed more corned beef and green beer than he ever had in Ireland.
And that's true.
I tell you, I swear to God, I when I was living in Ireland, I rarely, if ever, had corned beef. And in fact, my brother lives in Long Island, and he's been in the States longer than I have. And I rang Victor a couple of months ago, and I said, we were talking about, he does some music, so both of us will be reasonably busy around March. And I said that I'm going to be force-fed corned beef again in March, kind of thing, until the ears turn red. And I said, do you remember eating corned beef in Ireland? And he said, no, and he threw in an F-bomb kind of as well, being a good Irish brother kind of thing. And he said, but then he said, oh, yeah, but we did have tinned corned beef. I remember that. And I do remember that. It was a bit like Spam. And I remember that can once or twice. But that was it. I mean, it's just an American perception of Ireland. And then if someone offers me green beer, that's when I throw up. Good God. Give me Guinness. A good pint of Guinness.
I love that. That's great advice, too. And I think as you lean into it, I do find these things culturally interesting that you know, obviously we have like stereotypes here of Irish people, and especially on St. Patrick's Day here in next week. So. It sounds like maybe you lean into that a little bit, but you obviously don't want to be the stereotype leprechaun. You're not, you know, drinking green beer and wearing a crazy green jacket, are you?
Absolutely. And you know what? I've got an event in Vegas on St. Patrick's Day. I'm emceeing a conference in Vegas on St. Patrick's Day. And I tell you what, I know what already the opening line of that is going to be. And I'm going to come out on stage in front of a large financial audience. And I'm going to say the U.S. Supreme Court has deemed that cruel and unusual punishment is unconstitutional. Asking an Irishman to stay sober at 3 p.m. on St. Patrick's Day is cruel and unusual punishment.
That's true. So, I like
And I tell you another little thing about St. Patrick's Day. For me, I want two things about it. One is if you on Chicago on Paddy's Day, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock noon, there are people who are just totally wasted. Hardly any of them are Irish. They're all Americans wanting to be Irish. And then the following day, they go into work and they say, oh, my God, you Irish can drink like crazy. It's the Americans are drinking the stuff. No, the Irish do as well, obviously. But the other thing about St. Patrick's Day is that when I'm speaking about branding, I do speak about the Guinness brand experience and a kind of a serious serious message, but a little bit of humor. But the one I love well-poured pints of Guinness, which means that I will never drink a pint of Guinness on St. Patrick's Day because it is not possible here in the United States to get a properly poured pint of Guinness on St. Patrick's Day. So if I go into a pub at the end of St. Patrick's Day just to mess with people's heads, I'll ask for a bottle of Corona.
I'm sure with your accent, that would throw them off. That's pretty good. Right. Well, last question for you here, and then we'll play a game and have some fun and get out of here. But you obviously find a lot of power in humor. Have you found a way to explain what that is and why the humor is so important?
Well, I think so. I understand why it is important. I actually do have an online program which I've just launched, which is titled Adding Humor to Your Presentation. And I think the basic idea behind humor, Mike, is that it releases neurochemicals in our brains, dopamine, serotonin, etc., which are designed to make us feel better. And if you, in conversation with someone, I say this a lot to salespeople, that so many sales presentations are deadly dull and boring. And let's say you're a financial advisor and you invite 71 people to an event at the local Applebee's and try and sell them some life insurance policy or something like that. And what you do is you go through your charts and all they really want to do is just have their free meal and get the heck out of there kind of thing. But if you can just drop in three or four elements of humor, either slides or comments or little anecdotes into that presentation, you're going to connect better with people. And humor and a smile does create a better response from the people that you're connecting with. So no matter what kind of environment that almost no matter what kind of environment that you're in, you can put a smile on people's face and make them feel better. And it's like the show that you're doing here. I mean, I would think that almost after every single show that you do, where you've had a bit of a laugh and a bit of a smile with the guest, you're coming off just feeling good. Oh, yeah. And that's what humor does. And if I can bring some of that to my audiences and give them a good message as well, I think I've had done a good day's work.
I agree. Now, are you ready to play a game?
Let's try it, my brother. Let's try it.
Here we go. All right. We have Survey Says is like the classic game you may have seen on TV. Yeah. We surveyed 100 people. I'm looking for one of the top five answers. If you get 2 out of 3, you win. Here is number one. Name something that every house should have on hand in case of an emergency.
A fire extinguisher.
Number one answer. There you go. Give you some applause there. And I like this. Name something that gets hot when it's turned on.
Gets hot when it's turned on. Well, my wife would say me, but I mean, Does that count?
That's number three. That's number three. It's on there, people. Stove, water, iron, and light bulb also in there. I didn't give the other ones, but a phone, flashlight, first aid kit, bottled water, all good to have in case of an emergency. Also right. Money. All right. You've already won, but let's do one more thing. Tell me one thing that you know about the movie The Terminator.
I'll be back.
There you go. He'll be back. Is number three, actually. He's a machine, is number one. And just the word Schwarzenegger came up there. So congratulations. You are a winner. Another applause there for you, which means you get a 30-second commercial here for IrishmanSpeaks.com. How can you help us, or how can we help you?
If you're looking for a presenter or a facilitator to improve your people, your performance, and your productivity, Conor Kinnean, Irishman Speaks, I'll leave you with a smile in the face, with a spring in the step, and with some memorable takeaways to keep on keeping on. In fact, I suggest that it's a combination of business, blarney, and BS. But the BS can be brand strategy, business solutions, brilliant stories, or a little bit of BS from Irishman Speaks.
I love it. Great stuff. Conor Kinnean, go check him out, IrishmanSpeaks.com. I love that, too. I would rather have the blarney and the BS than the business stuff these days, but I appreciate you taking the time to share that with us. Again, if you're looking to rediscover the power of play, you can go to PlayfulHumans.com. We have a playfulness quiz where you can find out your playful personality, find out how you like to play. Maybe you like to go outside and explore. Maybe you like to tell jokes, or maybe you like to create something like art and paint. It's up to you. Go to PlayfulHumans.com. See ya.
Cheers.
Live for today. Keep on chasing the sun.